Okay, so now we are in sermon number 4 of the Stepping Out series. It's a series out of Hebrews chapter 11, which is known to be the Hall of Faith, kind of picking up from in baseball, the Hall of Fame, or in football, the Hall of Fame. And in Hebrews chapter 11, there's not just a description and explanation up front, which we've already covered, of like what is the inward kind of attitude and action of faith, but also it takes the examples of the different people in the Bible and it highlights how they stepped out in faith, because faith without works is dead. So faith always has action. Faith has a real manifestation. You can tell when someone is full of faith because of the way they act, because of the different things that they choose to do. And today we're going to be looking at, in a way, what I would describe as the simplest and most profound, let's say, facet or description of acting out faith. And all day, even right, I said this before, I was talking to the team inside, and even then after, we were all talking about it. This is one of these messages that I wish I could study for a month just for myself and not even talk about it, even though that's my job. But like this topic is so near and dear to my heart, for myself first, but then for you second. Like, this is what I want to talk to you about today, is like, it's so deep, it's so important for your relationship with God. And that's where, what is this all about? This is about your relationship with God. And so many topics that we could focus on. Right before I walked in, I just did this. I went on YouTube and I looked up like 5 signs of the second coming. You know, five major signs of fulfillment of prophecy. If you YouTube something like that, 400,000 views. And by the way, that's mostly Christians, right? Another one is, what role is China and Russia playing in end times prophecy? The one I saw today, which completely shocked me, was the assassination attempt of Donald Trump a fulfillment of prophecy in the Bible? 500,000 views. Okay. So we love controversy. You know, my mother used to say, chiki chiki. You know what I'm saying? Le encanta chiki chiki. Like, we love the prophecy, the controversy, the this, the that, and you know, inquiring minds want to know. We love that kind of stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. I want you to know the book of Revelation says whoever studies prophecy will be blessed. So I'm not minimizing that at all, okay? However, what I want to talk about today, I want to describe the person I want to talk about today. I would call him the Apostle of Now. He was known for how unique and how special his relationship with God was, despite all of the mysteries, in the simplest, in the most practical kind of way. There was something so special about this man. Who was the apostle of now? Who can be the apostle of now? Now? Whoever walks with God. Whoever walks with God. What I'm going to do is, instead of read out of Hebrews 11, I'm going to read out of Genesis 5 first, then we'll go to Hebrews 11, because Genesis 5 gives you the bigger picture of the quick description that we get in Hebrews 11. So look at what the Bible says. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 says, "When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah," listen to this, "Enoch walked faithfully with God." What was he famous for? He was famous for walking with God. Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. By the way, he didn't walk with God his whole life, because it's not automatic. You have to decide. There has to be a deliberate moment, like in 2025, in the month of January. There has to be a shift if you really want to walk with God. Now, here's what's amazing. It says, so Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. Like, he didn't die. God just took him. Right? Now, look at how Hebrews describes this. In the book of Hebrews, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who what? Pleased God. When we walk with God, we please God. How do you please God? You walk with God. In the uniqueness of every life in this room, moms, stay-at-home moms, working moms, single moms, right? And all of the above, all of the teachers and a doctor, a lawyer, whatever it is, in the uniqueness of all of the different computer techs, all of the different combinations, how do we please God? You know how we do it? We walk with God. We walk with God. It says, and without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who, let's read it together, earnestly seek him. And by the way, earnestly seeking him is one of the clues to walking with God. He walked with God. He pleased God. And what this is telling us today about faith is that faith walks. That's the title of my message today. Faith walks. So if you're watching online, you're standing on the wall. My question is, who are you walking with? Because faith walks with God. 8 billion people on the planet, here's what we're saying, 8 billion people on the planet, but the heart of God is pleased by any individual that wants to walk with him. Does anybody want to walk with God in 2025? Come on, do you want to walk with God? So I really want to pray, you know, that God would help us, that God would enlighten us today, that God would move us to walk with him. That there would be something about our time. And I just want you to know that this topic is so emotional for me, because this cuts to the core of what I'm responsible for, what Chrissy and I are responsible for with all of the other pastors. You know, our job, our service is to help you learn how to walk with God. Amen. You know, it's not about having a big church. You know, when I stand before God, he's not going to say, "Al, look at that nice building. What a screen. That was impressive." You know, he's not going to talk about any of those things. I know that. I'm telling you, this is in my bone marrow. It's going to be about you. It's going to be about you. And did we do everything that we could to help you walk with God? He loves you. You're special to him. And he is so pleased when you walk with him. That's what all of this is about, in a way. And so I want to pray for you and for me. I want to pray that we would walk closer to God in 2025 than ever before. And can I tell you something? Even if you're close to God, you can be closer. God paid Enoch the highest compliment. God said, "You love me so much, I love you so much, that you know what? I'm just taking you home to be with me. So be it, so be it." Anybody ready to go? I'm ready to go. Come on. Take me home, Jesus. So let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this beautiful service. God, for this wonderful time in your presence with each other, all of the new members. Blessed be your name, O God. God, we ask that you would use this message, that it would be a tool that helps our faith, a tool that brings greater revelation and even divine enablement, Lord, so that we could walk with you. I pray for young ladies. I pray for young men. I pray for married couples. I pray for, you know, teenagers. I pray for single moms and on, Lord. We're all in such different circumstances. But I know this, Lord, we can all please you by walking with you. Amen. So God, I pray for grace, that until you call our number and choose to bring us to you, God, may we be found as those that walk with you and please you. Bless this word, bless our time. In the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's praise him because we love him. Hallelujah. Walking with God is such a big deal. You know, my mom used to say, you know, "Tell me who you hang with, and I'll tell you who you are." In Spanish, you would say it, but. And it is so true. Who are you walking with? Are you walking with God? Because walking with God is a big deal. Look at what Lennon Ravenhill said. He says, "Smart men walked on the moon. Daring men walked on the ocean floor. But wise men walked with God." Oh, make us wise. Help us to walk with you in 2025. And so, let me break down what walking with God means. So it essentially means communion with God or fellowship with God. Here's how the Bible describes it. When the Bible says in Genesis, he walked with God, the Hebrew phrase implies an intimate, continuous, obedient relationship with God. What does walking with God mean? It means that something's going on between you and God that's intimate, continuous, and obedient. Okay? A lifestyle characterized by alignment with God's will. It means that you are in alignment with your King and your Master. The phrase in the New Testament, in the Hebrew, in the Greek, Old Testament is Hebrew, New Testament is Greek. It says the Greek phrase, please God, means to bring delight. It emphasized Enoch's faith as the reason for God's favor because it made him so happy. When we walk with God, it makes God so happy. So what could you give God today? What do you give to a God who has everything, owns everything, right? Sustains everything. There's nothing that we can give him, but we can give him a something about us that actually pleases him. We walk with him. We walk with him. Anybody want to walk with Jesus? I'm telling you right now, it's nothing like it. And so, what I want to do is try to simply break down, I want to break down what Enoch did to walk with God. How do we walk with God now? And by the way, before I make the first point, we say the phrase, privately healthy, help me, and publicly fruitful. Okay? That's a wonderful way to describe God's heart. He wants you to be privately healthy. He wants you to be so good in you because of who he is in you. Okay? And then as you become privately healthy, then naturally you start to bear fruit for the glory of God. And people look at your life and they go, oh, now look at that life. That is amazing. You know, awesome. Praise God. You know, so Enoch to me is like, in one sentence, he was like the epitome of private health, public fruitfulness. Why? Because his relationship with God was so good. So how did he do it? How do we do it? Well, he did it, and we do it by reaching for God. Everybody say reaching. By reaching for God throughout the day. How do you walk with God? You reach for him. You know, you reach for him throughout the day. Like in your heart, right? When we seek him earnestly, earnestly means something that is very sincere. Okay? So you can't reach for God just with your head. You have to reach for God with your heart. And when we reach for God, there's something about it that is so wonderful. So my youngest grandchild, Sienna, she's 6 months. I'm so just enamored with her. And one of the cool things is I've seen a change in her in the last, like, I don't know, it feels like the last 10 or 12 days. She's like more like dialed in and aware of us. And guess what she's starting to do? She's starting to reach. She reaches for grandpa. That's like $10 million. That's worth $10 million. I'll pay that any day of the week. One reach, $10 million, right? It's just so wonderful. What could Sienna give me? What could she do for me? Nothing. But when she reaches, can I tell you something? Every time you reach, your heavenly Father is so delighted in you. Come on, somebody say, reach. I'm not like, do you know your ABCs? You know, have you done this? Have you done that? That's not it. It's just reach. And so you can reach to God. Amen. You know, in the book of Amos, I love the way there's like this rhetorical question from God, which is basically, how can two walk together unless they agree? Sure. But agreement is not like a head agreement. It's like a heart agreement. Right. And the description is that you're like, I want to be with you and I want to follow you. And your word and your will, I agree it's the best way. And like I've had the song this week because of this sermon, you know, I just want to be where you are. I just want to be near your heart. There is nothing like your love. Come on, that's a good one. Right? So there's something about that that I'm so in agreement. Does anybody here agree with Jesus? Anybody here want to be close to Jesus, walking with Jesus? So it's interesting because this has been described by people in the past. And this description, I hope, will help you. So a monk who used to work in a kitchen wrote a famous book called Practicing the Presence of God. And if you want to like carry on like fellowship with God, like closeness to God, like I know that the fast is over and go have your cheesecake or whatever it is. But let the delight, there's a delight that can go higher than cheesecake. Come on, somebody say amen. And look at what Brother Lawrence said. He said, there is not in the world the kind of life more sweet and delightful than that of a continual conversation with God. John Owen said, communion with God consists in his communication of himself to us through the Bible by the impartation, the whispers of the Holy Spirit, with our return unto him of that which he requires and accepts, flowing from that union which in Jesus Christ we have with him. There's this beautiful union that we have with God, right? That we reach to him, he reaches to us. And all throughout the day, we can reach. Somebody say reach. Now let me speak practically to this. So you can question me and say, okay, Pastor, so you mean to tell me that I'm in a board meeting? I'm dealing with some very serious, we're processing this very important contract, and I should be like on the side, be trying to read the book of Hebrews during the meeting on the contract. Can I give you a piece of advice? Don't do that. Okay? God doesn't want you to do that. God wants you to concentrate on that. Do your job well. You see? But what one of the great writers, speakers on this, great preacher Alexander McLaren, the way he described it is, he said, it's not that you don't focus on that moment with all of your mind, all your heart, and all your strength. It's not that you don't focus. Actually, when you focus on your job, right? When a nurse is a Christian nurse, when she's taking care of someone, right, and she has to put a needle, IV, right? She has to put an IV in, or like literally clean a bedpan. There's something about it that she can say, I do this because I love him. And when I do this, I love him, and I know that he's pleased with me doing what I've been called to do. I've been gifted to do this, and as I do this, I love him, and he's pleased with my efforts for him. You see, it could be a teacher, right, and the kids are being naughty, and they're being difficult, and you say, you know, these honored kids sometimes, but I still love them, and I love them because I love God. Come on, pray for all those teachers. Right? Come on, how many are grateful for teachers? You can do your job because you love God and he loves when you do it well. However, here's a great way it was described is that, but what about when there's a break in the action? What about when the meeting is over, right? Then where does your heart turn? So naturally, like I was thinking about this, naturally, a lot of times happened yesterday, it's like I'm doing something. As soon as I stop doing something pertaining to my job, typically I would just immediately think about Chrissy. Where's Chrissy? What's she doing? You know, like, do I need to text her? What are we going to have for dinner? Blah, blah, blah. So that's natural. But part of your heart blesses God when you just don't think about the people you love or the things that you want, but there's something about your heart that reaches up to God and says, I love you and I want to please you today. And I just want to be where you are. Come on, how many know Enoch did that? And I want you to know that if you practice reaching, you'll get good at it. See, brothers and sisters, it's not your talk, it's your walk. I'm telling you right now, it's not what you can say about God. That's not what this is about. You can say all kinds of things. We can sound so spiritual in here, but what about when we go out there? It's not about your talk, it's your walk. Is your heart reaching in the car? Is your heart reaching on when you're watching TV? Is your heart reaching when you're with your friends? How many, no matter where we are, our heart should be reaching and saying, I love you. I want to please you. You know, I think about Daniel. This will transition in a moment to the next point, but I think about Daniel. The king of the land says, anybody who prays to anyone but my image, well, they're going into the lion's den. And you know what Daniel did? Daniel went right back to his house, as he always did. And he said, you can say whatever you want to say. But three times a day, the Bible says, with the windows open, he would reach. And by the way, when he went, was thrown into the lion's den, how many of you know God can shut the mouth of the lion? Come on, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Who are you walking with? You see, who are you walking with? Because when you walk with God, he is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'm telling you right now, he will defend you. He will bless you. He will blow the doors open for you. The favor of God will be upon you. All you have to do is reach. If you reach. I think about Nehemiah. The temple had been destroyed and they were rebuilding the walls and rebuilding the gates and there were enemies and pressures. If there's a lot of pressure in your life, go read Nehemiah. And you know what Nehemiah would do? While he was working and laboring, he would pause every once in a while. He would stop and say, God, remember me. Look at what I'm doing for you. I'm doing this for you, God. I'm serving you today. You can do that in Chicago. You can do that in a classroom. You can do that in an office. You can say, I'm doing this for you, God, I reach. Yes. Enoch walked with God, and he pleased God. Help us, Lord. Help us to please you, Lord. Yes. We love you. We love you. We get so caught up with this world, you know, and the things that are going on in this world, and what's going on in the news. You know, have you noticed that when you fast, if they could send me a keyboard player, have you noticed that when you fast, sometimes you say, I'm not going to read the news for 3 weeks. Have you noticed that your world doesn't crash just because you didn't read the news?
That's right.
But your world can get a whole lot better if you spend 3 weeks reaching for God. Yeah. Hallelujah, Jesus. So does your day start with the news or does it start with the Bible? You know, does your day start with email, right, or with God's love letter? Come on, some great man of God said, I don't want to read or hear from anyone until I have spent some time with Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. So the first thing is practice reaching. Reach. It's unique to every life. Wherever you live, wherever you are, like you just have to do it. And the more you do it, doesn't he promise, if you seek me, you will? How? By reaching. Look, last thing I'll say on this. So when I first became a Christian, and I'm so grateful, new members, You gotta be this for someone someday. Soon, I hope. Right? I became a Christian. I met a cop. His name is Jimmy. I haven't talked to Jimmy in years. Let me tell you, I love Jimmy so much because Jimmy was one of the people that God used to teach me how to reach. Right? So we were both single. We were hanging out. And one night he said, come on, let's go to Prospect Park. Prospect Park was very dangerous. And I've told this, you know, if you've been around for a while, but just act like you never heard it before. And so he said, let's go to the park. And we go to the park. He was a cop, so he was packing. I was like, it's all good. He's, you know. So we're in Prospect Park. And as we're walking in this green open field, nobody ever did this before. Like, I didn't even know about this. Okay? But Jimmy was walking, and Jimmy started going, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I worship you. I love you. And I'm walking with him, and I'm like, and then at a certain point, I was like, come on, get with it, man. Stop being such a worrying about what people think. And then I started going, hallelujah. That's the way it works, you know what I'm saying? I feel you, brothers, I feel you. I know where you're at sometimes. Like, so, and then at a certain point, though, I said, who cares? Hallelujah, Jesus. I worship you. I praise you, God. And what happened was that it was like a line. It was invisible. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you what? Do not see. You don't need to see him. He's real. And so what happened is at a certain point, we're worshiping God. And it's like we crossed the line. And when we crossed this line, it was like there was a wall or an ocean of the presence of God. And I was like, oh my goodness, God is here. This is why he lifts his voice. This is why, because the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. I'm telling you right now, you don't need a choir, you don't need a band. If you reach from your basement, if you reach from your living room, you're watching online, if you reach from wherever you are, when you reach, he will meet you. Hallelujah. He draw near to God and God will draw near to you. Reach and watch your life be transformed. That's faith. Enoch walked with God. How? By reaching. Powerful and yet so simple and profound. You reach, you'll start to know him in ways that are so special. It'll be like medicine to your heart. Things that matter to you won't matter so much. Because you've been with God. It reminds me of a man of God said this to me once. He said, when you have the burning bush, you have very little need of things. When you have the presence of God, I need this, I need that. Not so much. It's all good. It's all good. Now, the other way, and this is very, very important because some of us, we start to reach, but there's a part two to this that is very, very important, okay? The way Enoch walked with God is it wasn't just by reaching throughout the day. It was by also honoring his word among men throughout the day. You see? A lot of people, they break their fellowship because when they get with other people, they don't honor the word of God. Instead of it being sort of like, man, I love him so much. Here's what it should look like. It's because I'm with you, Lord, because I love you, I take this position. Because I'm with you, Lord, because I love you, I take this stand. You see, because I'm with you, because I love you, I make this choice. You know? There's like kids are in high school. Like maybe you're in high school right now. And you know, kids are watching porn all the time. And they're like, hey, come over here. Look at this. And you know what you say? You say, I love the Lord. And the Lord is with me right now. And if I look at that, it's going to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And they're like, oh, come on, you punks. You can call me a punk. But I'd rather make you unhappy and God happy. Come on, somebody say amen. Like, think about the multiplied moments where, like, because here's the way I would describe it, right? The greater your communion with God, listen to this. This is a descriptor. The greater your communion with God, the more you're like reaching to God, the greater the awareness of God. See, if you're reaching for him, you're thinking about him, right? The greater the awareness, then the greater you'll have all of the natural impulses to honor God among men. Because you're like, God is right here. God is with me. How could I let the Lord down? Right, go in the Bible, Joseph was a slave, yet he had the favor of Potiphar. And Potiphar's wife, right, makes a move on him and he goes, I can't be with you. He's so good to me. Look at all the things that he's done for me. The only thing I can't touch is you. I can't dishonor him. Well, what is that a picture of? That's a picture of how we should feel about Jesus. I can't do that. I can't go there. Can't you see what Christ has done in my life? How he saved me, how he's blessed me, how he's helped me. I can't do that. See, that's a deep motivation that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit, as opposed to rules and regulations, rules and regulations. God doesn't want fun for me. You're not understanding. It's like, I love him so much because I love him. I can't do that. Listen, I got to read this to you. 1 John 2 says this. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, that means sometimes you could have a strong craving for something, okay? It's like your flesh will tell you, I need this. You know, I'm entitled to this. But when you love the Lord, you can say, even if I need it, even if I want it, if God doesn't want it for me, I forsake it. Why? Because I love the Lord. It says the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all of these come not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. But whoever does the will of God, come on, read it with me, they live forever. How many want to be with him forever on streets of gold on that day with him forever and ever? I have it there. D.L. Moody said, if I walk with the world, I cannot walk with God. So look, part of what has to happen is, and I want to encourage you, don't, You can try to change who you are, but you're going to find that you can't. Okay? So, however, if you're in the presence of God, there's something about the presence of God that can literally change who we are. I don't want to drink anymore. I was talking to a brother who he came to this church and he was like, alcohol was destroying his life. And like, how do you give up the bottle? Time in the presence of God. You'll give up that bottle, you'll give up that drug, you'll give up this, you'll give up that, just time in the presence of God. It's powerful how we honor the Lord when we spend time with him. Last thing on this, A.W. Tozer said, the more fascinated we become with the toys of this world, the more we forget that there's another world to come. How many know there's another world to come? How many know there's an unseen world? There's a world that the world can't see, but with the eyes of faith, we can see it. We can wait for it. Walking with God means that you reach. Walking with God means that all throughout the day, you're like, you're the king of my day. And I want to honor you. You're the king of my day. And I don't care where it is. And I don't care who's there. I love you. And I want to honor you. And when we honor God, we please God. How many know when we honor God, we please God? How many would say amen? When we honor God, we please God. I've had all of these songs this week running through my head. I want to encourage you to really, one of the ways that you reach is through worship. You know? And we talked about faith worships. Faith gives God offerings. You know? Because there, it's just like a last thing I'll say, it's like you could be in the car and your heart can move towards God and say, I love you, I praise you, I want to honor you, Lord. Blessed be your name.